Salem here, and welcome to the Fresh Ubuntu podcast. I just want to let you know about a couple of things. First of all, I have also noticed poor sounding quality of the past few podcasts, and I am looking into the causes of that. And I have taken sound very seriously since I've started this podcast. And many of the things that I read about podcasting is, number one, to make sure it's the best quality sound that you can possibly get with the equipment that you do have. Although I don't have the top-notch equipment that other high-profile podcasters have, I do have some fairly decent sound equipment. So I'm looking into all aspects, whether it be the bandwidth, whether it be my own equipment. I am going to find the cause of it and hopefully find a remedy to it. So in any event, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Again, the sound is not normally like this, and they do sound much better. So as soon as I find the cause of it, it will be fixed, and future podcasts will also sound as good as they have been before. So thank you for joining me, and enjoy the podcast with myself, Harlem Quijano, and with Peter Nicolaitis. And welcome to the show. My name is Harlem, and with me here today is Peter Nicolaitis. And hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well, this week we got a lot of news. We're going to catch up on a lot of things. But before we begin, the podcast is going to take a three-week hiatus. I think it'll start on the 17th. Will be the last podcast of this year, and we will start back up again at the beginning of January, sometime around the 4th, 5th, or the 7th, something like that. Just a little heads up, if you don't hear from us for the next 2 or 3 weeks in the middle of December, don't worry, we're spending time with our families and friends and enjoying the holidays. So with that, let's get started with the news.
Our first story is more like a warning or a public service announcement. This was posted on the Ubuntu forums just this week. Basically, it is pointing out a disturbing recent trend in the forums, and that is to take advantage of new users who maybe aren't quite so savvy around the command line and don't recognize malicious code. We wanted to cover this first just because this is very important. If you see some things like this, some of these commands that are covered in this link, then you don't want to run them unless you know exactly what you're doing. And this is one of the reasons why the Man Page Minute, I think, is a good thing to listen to, because you can get familiar with some of these commands, although we haven't covered most of these yet. They give some examples in this forum post about people saying, you know, like, oh, well, while you're doing this, you know, just execute this command, rm-rf, and then a slash. If you know what that does, if you don't know one way or another, what that does is it tells your system to remove all files recursively without asking for confirmation, starting at the root. So if you happened to be logged in as root or in a sudo shell, that would effectively blow away your entire system, all partitions, all mounted drives. And if you're not, it would just blow away all files and directories, folders, etc., that you had write access to. So they go through, they give a few other examples where people have been told to, you know, issue a command to format their drives completely, remove all the files, overwrite, you know, their hard drive partitions and things. So definitely take a quick peek at that. And, you know, you want to keep in mind that when you're copying and pasting code or following code examples on the site, from any site, from a website, it is kind of like downloading software. You know, you are running programs, even if they're short little one-liners, and you want to make sure that you know what you're doing. Now, obviously the forum moderators are doing their best to keep their eyes out for this sort of thing, but just like downloading viruses and spyware and things, you have to take a reasonable amount of caution. If you see an instruction somewhere that, you know, clearly tells you to blow away your entire hard drive, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, and if you are a new user or someone who isn't familiar with the command line, it might behoove you to take a look at this site and make yourself get familiar with some of these things that are on this forum post, because
you may be coming across and needing some help from what who you may think is a nice, generally a nice person. If you recognize the command he's giving you, it may be some kind of attack against your system, whatever. Just get yourself familiarized with these types of commands, even if you don't want to play around with the command line or anything like that. It's just something that I think every user ought to know. It's part of the security system. You are a part of your computer's security, and you can be a very integral part in it, or you can be a more passive person, not take a hands-on approach to security, but it would really behoove that person to become familiar with some of these things.
Don't be the weakest link in your computer security.
That's right.
We got the hard stuff out of the way first. Our next piece of news is much more fun and lighthearted. Hardy Heron Alpha 1 is due out today. So version 8.04, as we've discussed previously, this is going to be radically new with all sorts of improvements, at least that's the plan. This will be the next long-term support LTS release of Ubuntu, and supposedly Alpha 1 is available for download now. Harlem, have you downloaded this yet?
No, unfortunately I have not. The thing with Alpha releases is that they are not finished products, and if you have a weak heart, it's not recommended for you, and really more towards people who are developers or people who are willing to sacrifice one of their computers to help troubleshoot the new releases. So,
well, if you're into that sort of thing, my hat's off to you. Definitely go ahead, check it out, run it. But for an average user, new user, perhaps a typical listener to this podcast, you probably don't want to touch this thing yet. Myself, I'm not going anywhere near the new releases until, a couple of betas into the release cycle, I think, which would be sometime around, I don't know. They're saying it's going to be, I guess they're calling it Alpha 6. They go all the way alpha. They don't seem to have any betas in this plan.
Right.
So maybe sometime around March or so I'll be downloading it and checking it out. But come April 24th, I'll be upgrading.
All right, and next up, and this is just sort of a little add-on or a tag-on to what we mentioned about the BBC not being Linux-friendly. Suddenly, ABC, or at least what this blog post is alluding to, is that ABC isn't Linux-friendly either. This person's blog tried to get onto abc.com and watch a TV show. However, he was quickly aborted with an error message, and the error message wanted him to have Flash 8 installed, even though he actually had Flash 9 installed. So, abc.com, not Linux-friendly. However, if those of you who have been lucky enough to get a beta preview of hulu.com, now, Hulu.com is a new website that features shows from the networks and other places, and that does work with Linux. As soon as that becomes open for all of you Linux types, not necessarily just Ubuntu people, but people running Linux, Hulu.com is one of the places to go. And so far, it's a thumbs up on that site for me. So.
Cool. Maybe you have to give us a little review once you've had to some time to play with it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. And once I get some invitations, I'll get you one too. So, and let's see, a follow-up on the Asus EEE PC. The Fresno Unified officials have bought 1,000 wireless laptops for the students in the Fresno Unified School District. The school district is a host to 69,000 students, and they will be making that investment and currently they are making that investment, and we'll have 1,000 Asus EEE PCs scattered throughout 60 classrooms at 16 schools. That's about 1,000. That's about 69 students per PC. So I hope they hold up for each of those students. Anyway, the investment is going to cost about $650,000. Some people are a little bit leery about it. The money could have been used for other things, like to fix up dilapidated computers in their system right now. But, change is often a hard thing to come.
Yep. Our next story talks a little bit about this, and we're going to go pretty quickly through it. Basically, over the weekend, it was pointed out that the ASUS EPC was violating the GPL. Apparently, the ASUS folks had made some changes to the kernel that runs on those PCs, and they did not post the source code. ASUS really quickly realized oops, this was bad. Obviously, it was just an oversight, and they did post the source code. Good for them for doing the right thing and not trying to cover it up. That's about all we're going to say about the EPC, just because, we are primarily an Ubuntu podcast, and we think we've been giving them a little too much coverage lately.
Right. It uses Zandros, which is still a Debian-based distribution, but you have to pay for Zandros, right? Or is that...
I really don't know. Right off the top of my head, I can't tell you. What I do know is that it is, it's like Ubuntu's brother, because they are both Debian children, so to speak.
Oh, but, I know. I know why Zandros sticks out of my head is because they did one of those licensing agreements with Microsoft.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did one of those Novell Microsoft agreements.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that case, let's move on.
Yes.
Let's not dwell on this any longer.
Right.
Back to Ubuntu-centric news. There's a review from last week on Linux.com entitled, Gosh, GOS is Good. You'll recall that GOS is the Ubuntu respin, which is featuring the Enlightenment E17 desktop and shipping on the $199 computers from Walmart. So I'm not going to go too much into detail. It's pretty much what we've talked about previously, but we'll include a link in the show notes. In other Ubuntu-related news, Linux Mint 4.0. I'm not sure how they pronounce that. Darina? Kind of like Narnia?
Yeah, Darina. I don't know.
Darina. Huh. Probably Darina. Let's go with Darina. Anyway,
what's
Linux
with
Mint
these
4.0.
Names?
Yeah. What?
I said, what's with these names?
What's with these names? I don't know.
Tongue twisters. Gosh.
We've got Goose, Darina, Juice, all these things. Anyway, Linux Mint 4.0 is out, and Linux Mint is an Ubuntu-based distro. At least it's Ubuntu-based now. Originally was Debian, and there has been some talk about them doing more Mint releases. So they may do like a Linux Mint Fedora edition, for instance, or Slackware or something. Linux Mint is noted because it supposedly... I say supposedly just because I have not used it myself, but it boasts better hardware support and codecs and, the other things that, are supposedly missing from Ubuntu. And I downloaded a copy. I haven't had a chance to install it yet, so I'm just kind of curious to see what the big advantage is over Gutsy now that Gutsy has added so much of that stuff that was missing in previous releases. You think you're going to check out Linux Mint, Harley?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about Linux Mint, and they have a Linux Mint Lite that I was thinking about putting on my laptop. I don't know. It does look nice, though. There's a lot of visual appeal to Linux Mint, and, mm-hmm. it's not brown, and that's a plus in my book. And it's compatible with the Ubuntu repositories, which is another plus. And it's Debian-based, so you can use the .deb packages, which makes it a heck of a lot easier to install stuff. So I might give it a try.
Well, I'm definitely at least going to try it out in a virtual machine, but then I'm probably not going to realize the advantages of it because, virtual machine hardware support is usually pretty good, and so you don't really see. So I might have to throw it on one of my machines, probably overwrite some of those Fedora installs that I did a few weeks ago when I was sick. Next up, there is a new Ubuntu out, and as I understand it, this is a real, Ubuntu, what do you call it? Like, Ubuntu, Kubuntu, Edubuntu release? Ubuntu Juice, as they pronounce it. And I think that's kind of dumb. Juice. J-E-O-S. Sounds to me like we should be saying, GEOS or G-E-O-S, but that's taken. We just covered that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the idea behind GEOS, Juice, J-E-O-S, is it stands for Just Enough Operating System. And as I understand it, this concept was originally put forth in a blog post by VMware people back in July. And I think, I'm not sure about this, I think Ubuntu may be the first distro to come out with a just enough OS. The idea is that this is the operating system that you would use as a basis for your virtual machines if you're a VM developer. Or if you're like me and you have a bunch of single-purpose virtual machines, what you don't need is, you know, all the extra stuff that comes with a full operating system release. These days, OSs are trying to pack as much as they possibly can into their releases. But if you're going to have something that is, say, just going to be an email server, then you don't need a lot of things like text editors and development tools and, you know, web servers and database servers and stuff. A lot of that stuff is extraneous and can be left out. So the idea is that, you know, the Juice release is going to be a very minimal deployment. Now, I downloaded a copy, but I have not yet had a chance to really install it. The thing that's really neat about the download is that it's only 151 megabytes. And since it is Ubuntu, there's nothing stopping you from using this as your first download and then adding on all the other stuff that you want with apt. So you know, you could download this and, say, install the GNOME desktop on afterwards. So it's got some potential there. I think this is a good thing. Any thoughts on that, Harlan?
Yeah, that actually is a good idea. They've just kind of stripped down Ubuntu. That way you can kind of pick and choose which packages you would want on your system. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you basically get a low overhead, small, footprint operating system that you can customize.
What is the GUI, or is it running GNOME?
I don't believe there's any.
Oh.
The idea would be that this would be a server, so as far as I know, it's just, just command line.
Oh, okay, cool. And then you could just add it all on. Hey, that's a great idea, and it's
under 150 megs, right?
It's 151 megabytes,
wow.
Just over.
Cool. You could fit it on a CD or small on one of those small business card CDs or something.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Cool.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of interesting too because you remember when we were talking with Dave Yates? I think it was offline or maybe it was on one of the recordings that we did with him. But he was talking about how he would like it if you could do like a net install, like a Debian net install, where you download a minimal set of packages and then just add stuff, downloading the rest later.
Yeah.
And, you could do pretty much the same thing with this. So, Dave, here you go.
This is it, Dave. Yep.
Now, oddly enough, Ubuntu Juice was released on November 15th. On November 23rd, I saw this announcement from a blog post, and it's entitled, Mini-Ubuntu, the base for your distro, now add your ingredients. Apparently, there's an Italian developer, Fabrizio Baliano, who said, a few days ago, a guy on the UCK forum told me that he would need a clean Ubuntu Live CD without all the bells and whistles, without GNOME and the graphic-related software, a sort of minimal system to build on his new Ubuntu derivatives, starting with a clean base. He said, I thought this was a good idea, so he went ahead and did it. And he has published a minimal Ubuntu package with a small bootable ISO, live CD ISO image, and he calls it Mini-Ubuntu. He basically says Mini-Ubuntu is the base Ubuntu system ready for your ingredients to cook your own Ubuntu derivative. We'll put some links in the show notes to Fabrizio's blog and also to the Launchpad project site for Mini-Ubuntu and the official project page. Now, the Mini-Ubuntu download, the ISO image, is 137 megabytes, and it's even smaller. Now, what I have not done yet is gone over the package lists to compare these two, but I thought that the timing was kind of odd because it sounds like, I think these two sound like they kind of, there's some overlap there. And, whereas Juice is going to be an official project and, this is just one guy coding and then releasing it, I don't know if that's going to affect adoption of one versus the other or not. But it does sound like there's a little bit of overlap going on, so I'm going to try to get in touch with Fabrizio and chat with him about that and see what his goals are for Mini-Ubuntu.
That'd be great. We can have him on the show, and we can do an interview.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool.
So that's Minibutsu. And then the last news article that I have for this week is XMMS 1.2.11 has been released. 1,211 days after version 1.2.10 was released. XMMS is, I don't know if it's the original, but it's definitely, you know, the venerable grandfather of all Linux media players. Came out, I don't remember when version 1.0 or, you know, the original version came out, but it's been out for, what, around for like 10 years or so, I think. Right. And basically it was a clone of the super popular Windows media player known as Winamp. And we had a joke, my friend Scott and I were, not Scott Wilsey, but another Scott, were joking about how, you know, it's the same. There are levels of similarities of, you know, this is not unlike something or this is similar to, but you could look at XMMS and Winamp side by side and it's just like the same. So it was pretty popular, but over time it's given way to other media players that have been focused more towards like GNOME or KDE and the different environments and things that do flashier things, things like Miro, which can play videos, etc. I haven't actually used XMMS for quite a while now, but I was wondering, you know, Harlem, you used to use this, right? Or do you still?
Yeah, I used to use it, and then I realized that they weren't, you know, keeping it updated, so I stopped using it and went to something else, because there's a whole bunch of players. I currently am using VLC. When I used to use it, that was one of the reasons that I was drawn to it, because its feature set was similar to Winamp's, which I was the most familiar with because I had just come from the Windows environment. So yeah, it's a nice little package. And on the website, it looks a little funny too. If you go to their website, they've got, you know, it's been 10 years and that Gaylord Nelson's 10 Commandments about XMMS and a bunch of other stuff on there, which is a pretty good read. Looks like it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff. And do you have anything else to say about XMMS?
No, that's pretty much.
Yeah.
It
is a good little lightweight, low overhead type of media player. But I kind of like VLC better because it'll play all kinds of stuff. It'll play all kinds of files and videos too. So. VLC seems to fill my needs for the moment. One last thing I want to mention, there's this YouTube video, which I was really rather amazed at. I had not realized how far along CompHiss Fusion was. I'm kind of warming up to CompHiss Fusion. I know during the roundtable I was sort of, you know, neither here nor there about CompHiss Fusion or any of those, that eye candy stuff. But I am kind of warming up to this. If this is the state of the union as it is right now, and it's only going to get better. I am kind of falling for it, I guess you could say. A lot of neat visual effects are happening right now. And if you want, you can take a look at the YouTube video, and I'll place this on our blog at freshubuntu.org. But there's also other related videos with other visual effects about CompHiss Fusion. And it's really neat to check it out. Like I said, I'm warming up to it. I don't have it playing on my laptop right now because my laptop can't handle that kind of stuff. But I did play around with it on my desktop, and it seems to be okay. But anyway, you have any thoughts, or have you seen the YouTube video?
I have not actually watched that YouTube video, but I am using CompHiss Fusion. I'm starting to like it. I like the. You know, the practical aspects, the desktop switcher, I think is, you know, kind of neat. And I use it a lot especially when I'm working on my laptop. I have it configured with 9 virtual desktops, and being able to task switch back and forth really quickly between applications by having the whole thing. I don't use the cube. I have it displayed as a big wall. And I'm finding that really to be a big productivity enhancer when I have, like, email, a web browser, chat, and terminals all open. I can really, you know, quickly pan back from the whole thing and pick the, you know, the view I want to, or the window I want to view, and zoom right back down into it. And a number of other things. Yeah, eye candy, I'm getting used to. And I actually, you know, a number of folks are commenting on the wobbly windows. even though I think it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of funny, but apparently people seem to be really taken by the wobbly windows, so I leave it on, and, you know, people see me dragging things, and the window kind of, like, snaps and bounces and wobbles around like a big, you know, bowl of Jell-O or something. It makes them laugh, and they're like, wow, what is that? I want that. I'm like, here you go. Hand them an Ubuntu CD, you know?
Way to go. Hey, yeah, I did that too, and I was kind of amazed by it as well. But after a little while, it kind of got annoying to me. But, you know, I'm not here to bash Compass Fusion because it's obvious to me that it's going to be the way things are going to be. You know, lots of visual effects. And that will kind of meld in pretty well with the practical uses of it too. And they'll figure out a way to make it a little more practical. Right now, it's kind of still eye candy. But in the future, I think it'll just get more and more useful.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really liking it so far. I'm warming up to it. So keep up the good work, Fusion team, and we're hoping to see more good things out of you guys, and looking forward to it too. So, well, that's gonna cover it for the news this week.
Yes.
Pretty much. So I am going to be getting a new computer here in the next couple of days. So I wanted to get your advice on what kind of computer I should get. I want to get a laptop. You got any advice?
You're not going to get an Asus EPC?
Oh, no, probably not. No. No. I will. I don't know. I've been looking at Acer. And there's a couple of HP laptops and that kind of thing. I'm just gotta, where would one, here's a question for you. Where would one go to see if their laptop is Linux compatible or Linux friendly?
Well, the first thing I would do, frankly, is I would just start Googling around for the make and model of that laptop and Ubuntu. I've gone to a bunch of these, you know, hardware compatibility lists and things, and I've never really get the full lowdown there. But basically, if I take, say, for instance, my Dell Latitude D500, my old, you know, four-year-old Dell laptop, Google around for that and Ubuntu, and then I would throw in some things like wireless, audio, sound, networking, video, you know, all of the trouble spots that you're likely to run into. And if other people are having problems, you're going to get some hits, and you're going to see either, you know, they're easy workarounds or they're not. That's generally what I do before, if I'm going to buy new hardware and, you know, plan on running Linux for it. Now, the other option, of course, is you can go with someone like System76 or Dell or, you know, Penguin or, you know, some other vendor who is going to be pre-packaging Ubuntu for it.
Right.
So that's another option. But I've been running my Hewlett-Packard, my HP NC6220s for about a year now, and the Linux support has been fine. They suspend and resume just fine. They play sounds. It automatically detects the wireless cards and works really well. So I'm fairly happy with HP hardware the last couple of years.
Okay, good. I'll take that under advice and do yep. just that. One of the reasons why I wanted to get a new laptop was I wanted to check out Vista and see how the development is on that, and also, you know, dual boot with Vista and Ubuntu. So
you had to mention the V word.
I had to, and you know, I have to provide a well-rounded experience for this podcast. So it's you know.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Vista, because I actually left out a bunch of news postings on Vista. Over the last week or two, there have been a number of news items. I've been blogging. I didn't blog about any of them, but a few of them have been showing up in my Twitter feed. Like, there was one was, Vista is bad for cheap laptops, but good for Linux.
I saw that.
Or, sorry, cheap laptops are bad for Vista, but good for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. In work here, one of our clients got a brand new laptop with Vista on it, and the thing was just dog slow. I think it was a Dell. And, you know, these low-end laptops with the, you know, low-end Celeron processors or whatnot, or, you know, the older Pentium processors and less than a gigabyte of memory, or even just 1 gigabyte of memory, it's terrible. It's like running Windows XP on 256 megs of RAM, only worse, with, you know, even more overhead.
Yeah,
it's really kind of neat. Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I was talking to the guy at Best Buy, and, you know, as if they're the experts on this, but Anyway, it's more of an expert at it than I am, but I was talking to the guy, and he was going, yeah, the hardware requirements for Vista are really pretty high. You don't want to get, less than a gigabyte of RAM. You don't want to get, Celeron processor, and make sure your hardware is a little more high-end. I don't know if he was trying to, upsell me or what, but, I tend to believe him because I've been, reading a lot of blog posts about Vista and the hardware, and then I read that article about low-end PCs not being good for Vista, but good for Linux, so.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've run Vista on a bunch of machines. None of them have been brand new, but a couple of them have been advertised as Vista-capable. And, man, that should be saying, capable of just barely booting into Vista is what that means. It's so bad, apparently there's a class action lawsuit going on against Microsoft for basically fooling people into thinking that, Vista capable meant, yeah, you can run this. It's just interesting, in the last week or so, there's a number of news articles. One of them was speculation. I heard someone on Buzz Out Loud saying rumor that Microsoft is planning to do yet another Windows release at the end of next year, so that Vista would have a very short lifespan, and that would just cement it as Windows ME Professional.
Right, yeah. I heard about that, too. And are they talking about a brand new operating system? Kind of like when they went to ME to XP?
No. I don't see that happening anytime soon. And even then, ME to XP was not brand new, because, XP and all, Vista, XP, Windows 2000, they're all based on Windows NT.
Right.
So, they all start with the NT code base. So the shift from ME to XP or to 2000 or whatnot was really, that was a shift, away from, the 16-bit DOS-based architecture. But now you've got 64-bit Windows, 64-bit Vista and 64-bit XP. So the transition, I don't think, is going to be nearly as dramatic as what we saw back then.
Okay, hey, have one thing about the CPUs. What would be better, AMD 64-bit or Intel dual core, Core 2 Duo?
That's really kind of hard to tell. They seem to leapfrog. As I understand it right now, I think Intel has the lead as far as performance goes. And that's something that, they do tend to leapfrog. But lately, it's my understanding that Intel has been maintaining the lead, or at least if they do lose it, they seem to be getting it back more quickly than AMD has been. So I do like the underdog. I like rooting for AMD, but if you absolutely want the fastest, then I think it's Intel right now.
Yeah, I think so too. But the only thing is that the flash player for there's no 64-bit flash player for Ubuntu, and that's the only thing. I think you can get 32-bit running on a 64-bit machine, but I'm not sure about that. So that's the only reason why I was wondering about it.
So, that's a little all I have. I'm sorry, all listeners who do like the Man Page Minute, I apologize that I haven't recorded one in a few weeks. I got kind of sidetracked a couple of times, and then I sold my my blue Snowball microphone, so I didn't have one for a while, and then I was sick for a while. And then we did all of those interview shows, but I will be back with Man Page Minutes. I would be curious to hear if people have, a certain, not just a command, but, a certain command or family of commands or type of functions that you'd like to do on the command line. I'd like to hear from you. So, drop in a line to either Harlem or me. And also, I want to plug my own Twitter page because I haven't gotten any new followers for a little while. I had a few. I was getting them steadily, every week or every few days I was getting a couple of folks. So, if you're on Twitter, get out there and follow me. I want company.
He's got a lot of interesting things to say.
Or, if not interesting, at least sometimes they're funny, too.
That's right. So, that's why I follow you. So.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
So, yep. Yeah. No. Hey, that's okay about the Man Page Minutes, but we are going to be doing a few of them real soon. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we will be going on a hiatus, a 3-week hiatus or so, to spend a little time with the family and friends. I will be going overseas during that time, so I apologize for having to go overseas, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, while we're doing that podcast hiatus, though, I will still be Twittering and blogging my head off. So,
that's right.
You know, if you want a little bit of dose of humor or something, then, you know, check that out.
And also, I might, there probably will be broadband, so at least Peter and I will keep touch, and I will also be Twittering as well, and if you want to follow me, you can follow me at twitter.com/, I think it's Fresh Ubuntu, or at Harlem Kiana. Well, either way, you can search for me there on Twitter. Let's see, where was yours, Peter? There you go. Yeah.
I'm at twitter.com/Nikolaitis,
right.
NikolaiOlkaiDis.
Yes,
and
you
think
found
that's
mine.
The first time I've ever spelled my name for the podcast, too.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
I'll get more info now.
they're probably some other Nikolaitis with a Y something.
I was thinking that I have thousands of fans out there desperately wanting to be able to contact me, but just couldn't because they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of spelling my name.
Right. and you're probably right, too, so... I have two Twitter accounts, one for personal and one for Fresh Ubuntu. I'm not sure if I'm using Fresh Ubuntu or my personal one. I only use one for right now, but so either way. Our email addresses for the podcast is petern@freshubuntu.org. Mine is harlem@freshubuntu.org, or you can reach us also at freshubuntu@gmail.com. Peter's blog is at blog.nikolaitis.com, and I'm going to spell your name again, nikolaidis.com. Freshubuntu.org is where the show notes are and the blog, and I don't blog too often, but every now and again. I did put up a Thanksgiving blog post. If you want to run over there and take a read at it, be my guest. It's at freshubuntu.org. And I think that's going to do it for this week. Do you have any parting words for us, Peter?
Yeah, I want to know that if we're supposed to pronounce J-E-O-S as juice, can we call G-O-S goose?
That's something to ponder until next week, and we can find out, or somebody out there can let us know. How do we pronounce G-E-O-S? Is it juice? G-O-S? What? And that is going to wrap things up for us this week. Thank you very much. I hope you all had a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope Black Friday was kind to you. By the way, we should do a wish list podcast.
I was thinking of maybe doing something like that, a wish list or an Ubuntu shopper's guide.
Yeah,
something.
Let's do that, for the extra podcast that we're going to do. Anyway.
Great. Yeah, yet another thing on my to-do list.
And that is going to do it this week. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Yeah, bye.